we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Apple and Google are teaming up for coronavirus contact tracing. YouTube to quash coronavirus 5G content as rioters burn cell towers. The privacy and security problems continue to unfold for Zoom. And here comes Dark Nexus, possibly the most potent IoT botnet ever. That and more in Access of Easy, episode 141. Hey everybody, Mark Jeftovic here with another episode of Access of Easy. We're recording this on April 14th, and this will be the first episode to finally dock on the new website, accessofeasy.com. So check it out, and it is all there. Make sure you let your friends and colleagues know about the new site, and we're very keen to get things going over there. Let's do the quotes. So last week's quote was, the final outcome of credit expansion is general impoverishment. And that was Ludwig von Mises, and the winner was Fabian Lutman. But we're also going to give out a renewal to M. Lee, who was wrong in his guess. He guessed Vincent R. LoCascio, but we're giving it to him because he knows who Vincent R. LoCascio was. And if you don't, most people don't, LoCascio was a former banker who wrote two very important books, 2001, Special Privilege, How the Monetary Elite Benefit at Your Expense, and 2005's The Monetary Elite Versus Gold's Honest Discipline. I first became aware of LoCascio when, out of the blue, in 2006, he just sent me a copy of the second book that he wrote. And I just devoured the whole thing, and you know, it's all dog-eared and marked up and scribbled in the margins and everywhere. And I've referred to it numerous times over my blogging on rebootingcapitalism.com back in the day and guerrillacapitalism.com now. But links to those two books are in the show notes if you're interested, and I think they're both underappreciated great books. And this week's quote is, it takes something more than intelligence to act intelligently. So you know the rules, no searching this up online. The first person to post this correct answer to the show notes page will get their next domain or web hosting renewal on us. And this week, the show notes are going to be at accessofeasy.com/141. That's accessofeasy.com/141, A-X-I-S of easy. All right, let's get to it. So hacked video conference logins are being sold on the dark web. So with this massive shift to remote work all over the world, hackers are also shifting their targeting. Two separate incidents have been reported by security firms finding troves of video conferencing logins being posted or sold on the dark web. It goes beyond prankster Zoom bombing calls for fun. Serious fraudsters can use these stolen credentials to set up fake meetings and convince coworkers to share sensitive documents. Quote, if the attacker can identify the person whose account he has taken over, and that doesn't take too much time, just use Google and LinkedIn, then the attacker can potentially impersonate that person and set up meetings with other company employees. This can be used for business email compromise type attacks, where the attacker can impersonate a person in the company and ask to move money. It can also lead to asking people to share files and credentials over the Zoom chat. End quote. Security tools that are used for penetration testing, such as OpenBullet, are now being used by hackers to locate vulnerable web conferencing servers and clients. Apple and Google are teaming up for coronavirus contact tracing. So this is via the Wall Street Journal, quote, Apple Inc. and Google will build software together that would alert people if they were in contact with someone infected with the coronavirus, an unprecedented collaboration between two Silicon Valley giants and rivals, end quote. So the way this works is by embedding contact tracing tools into their respective smartphones. They would use Bluetooth to log all the other beacons they come into proximity with. Just keep in mind, I call smartphones beacons now. If anybody subsequently tests positive for coronavirus, then the other phones can search through their travel history to see if they came into contact with an infected person. This will all be voluntary and, of course, only applies to coronavirus tracking. The article does go on to caution that this will no doubt raise some privacy concerns. You think? Over in the Eurozone, coronavirus surveillance efforts to use mobile apps also is taking hold, so both France and Germany have undertaken initiatives to pursue COVID-19 tracking via specifically designed apps for your personal beacons. In Germany, the federal agency in charge of disease control has teamed up with a health tech startup called Thrive to create an app called Corona Datenspende, which translates roughly to Corona Data Donation. The app works across most wearable platforms like Fitbit, etc. It gathers data based on the wearer's heart rate, blood pressure, temperature, and certain socio-demographic data like age, weight, and gender. In France, the government released a smartphone app called Stop COVID, which will be voluntarily downloaded, and similar to the aforementioned Google Apple piece, it will use the device's Bluetooth to track when people come into contact with somebody who's infected. One possible wrinkle here is that French law currently bars smartphone tracking, and several French lawmakers have stated that they will remain opposed to geo-tracking citizens. YouTube to quash coronavirus 5G content as rioters burn cell towers. So, one of the many conspiracy theories circulating about coronavirus is that newly deployed 5G networks cause it to spread more virulently. Yeah, I hear that 5G suppresses the immune system. In some cases, people say 5G causes coronavirus, which is kind of nutty. Anyway, enough people believe it that it's resulted in people setting fires to multiple 5G towers in the UK. And now tech platforms are stepping in and they're quashing content that talks about 5G and coronavirus. And I think that's a separate issue in my mind, and it's kind of troubling for a few reasons. One, I think material that discusses meta issues like 5G and the coronavirus will be suppressed. I mean, even this podcast, which is talking about the narrative itself, might flag some automated algo to get knocked off of YouTube if we actually publish these to YouTube, which we don't. Anyone who would actually undertake a serious analysis or peer-reviewed study of this is going to be discouraged or repressed. I mean, 5G suppressing the immune system? I don't know. Maybe it's possible, but we won't know if no one's ever going to actually do a scientific study of it, even to eliminate it. The other thing is some of the judgmental or pejorative timbre of the non-conforming views taints all other non-conforming views, even those that might have some merit. So I think ideally the way to counter this is by producing material that refutes these theories on a non-ideological way. And I came across a couple of good articles that look at the science behind this, and I link to those in the show notes page. So privacy and security problems continue to unfold for Zoom. So after a litany of privacy and PR disasters that we reported in last week's edition, more bad news kept rolling in. Google has banned the use of Zoom across all company laptops. Singapore, the nation-state or the city-state, has also banned Zoom entirely after pranksters Zoom-bombed some online school sessions and broadcasted pornography across those sessions. And one of Zoom's own shareholders is now suing the company, alleging that they hid privacy and security flaws. This is a correction, retraction, whatever you want to call it, but last week's article about VPN tracking, I totally got this one wrong. I really misunderstood the source material for that piece. So that entire article was talking about all of the VPN services that use trackers and screen recordings. I wrote it thinking that they were tracking the actual VPN tunnels that you buy from these companies, and that was totally wrong. It was the VPN providers' websites themselves that are doing these tracking and screen recordings on users when they visit the company website. So apologies for this. It was a big mistake on my part. Thanks to Sean and others who pointed this out via the blog and via email. We posted a correction on the blog as soon as we became aware, and I'm telling you now via the podcast and in the e-letter that we got that one wrong. Here comes Dark Nexus, possibly the most potent IoT botnet ever. So it's another virus spreading out of China, only this time it's an IoT botnet called Dark Nexus. So IoT botnets have been responsible for some of the biggest internet attacks in the past few years. Remember when Dynect got knocked off the internet completely for a whole day? They're a DNS provider and it took out pretty large chunks of the internet. That was because of the Mirai botnet, which was comprised of IoT devices. IoT, Internet of Things, those are like webcams, those are like thermal sensors, those are home routers, that sort of thing. Researchers are now tracking the spread of something called Dark Nexus. At the moment, it's most densely concentrated in China. The botnet reuses some code from the Mirai and Qbot botnets, but it's mostly original code and it's authored in a way to make it, quote, particularly potent and robust, end quote. Google Cloud Storage experiences an outage. So last week, Google Cloud Services crashed for a while, took out some fairly sizable services, including Gmail, Snapchat, and Nest. It's the third such outage in as many weeks, and it just goes to show you that even the biggest, most cutting-edge companies are struggling to keep up with the surge in demand that global remote work is placing upon the networks. So Google later attributed the outage to a router failure in Atlanta. And a quick update on the EasyDNS Fold at Home team. Remember, Fold at Home is doing molecular calculations for disease research, and they're optimizing towards coronavirus research right now. So we're doing pretty good. We've got five contributors who have over a million credits. So special thanks to Brewjack, Zero Derivative, TIMF, Bill Pye, and Blitherman. Keep up the good work. Head to the Fold at Home homepage, which is just foldathome.org. Download the client and then join team 248458. And now that we're up on accessofeasy.com, we are now syndicating this podcast out through some of the aggregators. So you can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Spotify. Please search us up. Leave us a review. We're not on iTunes yet because they rejected the podcast. We don't know why. We're still working on it, but we will hopefully get that rectified. But find us on Stitcher. Find us on Spotify. Leave us a review. That would be really helpful. Tell your friends about accessofeasy.com. And the show notes for this week's page are accessofeasy.com/141. That's it for this week. Stay safe. Stay sane. We'll see you next week.